You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. There may not be anyone happier to reach the postseason this October than the starting pitcher for us on this show. The fact that he even reached the major leagues was miraculous. After all, how many 34th round draft choices get even one day in the show? And then to complicate matters, he spent 3 months in bed after spinal surgery. On top of that, almost the entire starting rotation for the New York Mets went down with injuries, and it gave him a chance. Here is the inspiring story of Seth Lugo. Seth, great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on. So let's start with this. How much money did you get to sign as a 34th round draft choice out of Centenary College in Shreveport, your hometown?
In 2011, they gave me $20,000 to sign.
Wow. So you could buy like a lot of houses and planes and boats, right, with that money?
not quite.
not quite. Did you think you were going to last that long? Tell us about the story of the day that you were drafted. What were your expectations? What had scouts told you?
I had a couple scouts, one with the Rockies and one with the Mets. Both of them told me they thought they saw me getting drafted around the 17th round. So after the second day of the draft, I was kind of upset, a little disappointed. But I was doing a little kids' camp at the college I went to, and head coach was up in his office and opened up his window and yelled down, "Hey, Lugo, come up here!" And showed me. He's like, "Look, you just got drafted." I'm like, all right.
What was your reaction that it was the 34th round?
I was just thrilled to see my name on there. I didn't care what round it was. I mean, after the second day, I told you I was disappointed. I didn't think I was going to get drafted, so just getting picked up.
It was a big deal. It was a big deal. And Seth, you know Mike Piazza's story in the 62nd round. You know about Keith Hernandez, who broadcasts for your team. You know about Andy Pettit and Don Mattingly, also late round draft choices.
Oh, I didn't know about Mattingly then.
Yeah. Mattingly went to relatively late, and of course went on to have a spectacular career. So you get drafted, you go off to the Appalachian Rookie League in Kingsport, Tennessee, in 2011, and you go 5-2, and part of that success is due to this incredible curveball that your dad taught you when you were 11. Tell us the story of the curve.
We used to go to it was the college I ended up going to. When we were 10, 11, 12, 13, we would go to the college there and have the head coach and some of the college players kind of help us out with practice and show us a few things. This was during the All-Stars. And the head coach taught my dad how to show some guys how to throw a curveball using a tennis ball container, just how to throw it with a 12-6 rotation. And he showed it to me, and I've been throwing it ever since. It's been my go-to pitch for 15 years now.
And the conventional wisdom, as you know, Seth, you've heard it over and over again, the conventional wisdom is that 11 is way too young to be throwing a curveball.
Yeah, and that was the purpose of the tennis ball container, to teach you how to throw it without hurting your elbow.
And you've never had a problem?
I've never had arm problems.
Wow.
When I'm talking to young kids, I still advise them to wait a little longer, way longer than I did. But who knows with elbows? Who knows what can happen?
And the way in which you were taught, your rotation on the curve is extraordinary. It's way beyond the usual curveball that we see.
Yeah, that helps me. Helps me fool the hitters.
Yeah, through the years, have other guys come up to you, other pitchers that you've played with or against, and say, "Man, how do you do this? And why aren't they doing it?"
Usually whenever I play catch with someone new, I warn them before I throw curveballs. Oh, it's curveballs. I said, okay. I know, really, really, get ready. And I'll throw it. They'll ask me how to throw it, and I'll show it to them. And I don't know, I just got lucky. Got gifted with it.
So life is good. You're 5-2 in the Appalachian Rookie League, and then it all comes to a halt shortly before your first spring training. What happened?
I had a little back issue. I kind of tweaked it a little bit my last year in college. And then I played that whole season of college and then the whole team sports season. And I come into spring training and was having back spasms. And then was getting some MRIs and got it all checked out and turned out I dislocated a vertebrae. And had to have back surgery. It took almost 2 years to recover from that before I played again.
You had these back spasms. I had read in preparing for our interview during an abdominal exercise, and you were sore for a few days, but you dismissed it. Of course, I would dismiss it. I think our listeners would. And then it gets worse. And you then had pain radiating down your right leg.
Yeah. Turns out I pinched my sciatic nerve with a herniated disc.
And this was, and this also caused nerve damage, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, to this day, my right leg still kind of, it's not as strong as my left leg. I lost a lot of muscle definition and flexibility in it. So it's something I'm still trying to catch up with.
Have you had to compensate at all because of the difference between your legs?
In the weight room, I do. I have to do everything single leg stuff. I can't, if I float on squat rack or something, you know, it's noticeable that my right leg just doesn't push off as well as my left leg. So I kind of mess up my form and stuff.
Which is tough being a right-handed pitcher.
Yeah, that's my drive leg.
Exactly. Yeah. So now you got to undergo surgery, and the purpose of it is to do exactly what? What did the doctor say they were going to do in surgery?
We're going to do a lumbar fusion there. So they took a bone gap out of my hip and then with four screws screwed it into my spine, to the L5 and S1 vertebrae to cover the gap that was making the disc bulge out and pinch the nerve. So basically all that has reduced the nerve damage by fusing a bone over my spine.
Wow. You're 22 years old. You got the world in front of you, Seth. Were there times when you thought, my God, my career's going to be over before it gets started?
Well, lucky for me, I didn't have that thought too much in my head. One time I did was the morning of the surgery when the doctor had to read off his precaution list, which was death, paralysis. It's like,
oh, man.
Okay, we're not thinking about baseball anymore. Am I going to live?
Right.
But, no, I kept a pretty good attitude about it the whole time. I mean, you know, they kept reassuring me that if I didn't want to play baseball, the surgery wasn't necessary. So the surgery was only to keep playing. So I never thought that was it. I knew that's what I had to do to stay on the field.
And, of course, it takes on such a great, so much a greater import, Seth, because you had already been in the minor leagues and you had had one successful season.
Yeah, that made it easier. Couldn't imagine not playing not having any professional experience than going out there after surgery. That'd be a lot different.
So after the procedure was you are confined to bed in your mother's home for 3 months. What was that like?
That was a lot of video games and TV. I actually moved a mattress in front of the living room TV and hooked up my Xbox and was just playing video games and watching TV for about 3 months. It was, I was playing a little guitar and stuff too. I could do that laying down. So it was very boring, but I knew that's what I had to do. So I made the best of it.
Sure. What games were your favorite video games?
At the time, Skyrim had just come out like a year before that. And that game, you could sit there and play it for hundreds of hours and not beat it. So that was the perfect one.
You made time pass. Seth Lugo of the New York Mets is with us. 34th round draft choice, making it to the postseason in 2016. Did you lose any mobility in your right leg, and was there pain during this entire process?
During spring training, before I had the surgery, I could hardly walk, and there was nothing I could do to relieve the pain. It was just from my hip all the way down to my toes. Just my whole leg was just hurting and tingling just all over every day for about a month or so. But after the surgery, I mean, they told me not to twist around, not to bend over. So I couldn't really do anything anyways, so it wasn't too bad because I knew I wasn't supposed to move, so there was no pain just laying there recovering.
Could you walk at all during that process that you were in your mom's house?
Yeah, I could. They had me, I was in the hospital for 7 days after the surgery. I was walking on the second day. The first day I didn't walk. The second day I was walking. They said I was pretty good, mm-hmm. but with how young I was, they didn't like to keep guys immobile. They want you to move around since your body can recover and stuff. They didn't put me in a back brace or anything like that, so I was moving pretty quick after surgery.
If you will, tell us about the process of rehab after you were able to leave the mattress from in front of the TV. What did you have to do? How rigorous was that?
It was kind of a pain. It was every day you go in there and stretch for about an hour and do ab exercises for about 2 hours. It's about 3 hours a day, and it's all real repetitive. It was 3 months rehab. 3 days a week, so it was hard to make myself go to every day. But you know, I keep reminding myself why I had the surgery and what I was going for, and it wasn't too bad.
Whom did you rely on for support during this time? There must have been people, perhaps in the medical community, and maybe even Seth in the Mets organization, who thought that you would never pitch again. So how did you get through it in terms of support?
Well, Mike Herbst, he's our minor league trainer, coordinator, or what? Not sure his title all the way, but he was real good. You know, he sent me up to New York for my checkup. I mean, he took real good care of me, anything I needed. But my mom, obviously, I was living with her, and it was over the summer. She's a school bus driver, so she didn't have work that summer. And then a good buddy of mine named Jay, he would, you know, go get me a soda out of the fridge or something, or... And I would change video games if I wanted to switch up games or something like that. So I had someone to hang out with for most of every day.
Did it ever get really monotonous? Did the time go faster than you would have imagined?
It actually did. It went really fast. I felt like I was in the hospital for the next week. Seemed like it took forever, but when I was at home, I don't know. I hardly remember the summer. It might be just because I didn't do anything, but mm-hmm. It seems like it came and it was gone. But the rehab, though, that was a little monotonous. But those things you just got to do, though. So,
can you remember and tell us what it was like the first time you got back on the mound in a game? What was that like for you after all that you had gone through? Where were you and what happened?
I was in an extended spring game down in Florida. And I can remember throwing and not necessarily caring where I was throwing the pitches. I was really throwing and trying to feel my back, make sure I didn't feel anything weird.
Sure.
I don't think I gave too much of an effort. I was real conscious of hurting it again. But I remember pitching. I was pitching to some younger guys. But I think it went really well. I think that out is actually where I met my agent, the first one after my surgery.
Mm-hmm. Which was a very helpful thing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Seth Lugo is with us from the New York Mets. You resume your career. You get to AAA in 2016. You're in a hitter's league. I worked in that league, Seth, as a broadcaster. It hasn't changed through the years. It's hell for pitchers. It's great for hitters. The PCL, it's a paradise for hitters. You come to the major leagues. Get into a game against a team that is eventually going to win 103 games, the Chicago Cubs, in your major league debut in July. You throw two scoreless innings in relief. What do you remember about that first appearance?
I can remember the way the stadium looked. I mean, I can remember just about everything about that night. But as far as their lineup goes, I faced them again in Wrigley, and I know they're good hitters. But I think I've got a pretty good idea what I would – how I would pitch the majority of them, so that's positive.
And your curveball, I'm sure, was working just fine that day.
Yeah, it was. I remember that strikeout to Rizzo pretty good.
Give me your welcome to the big league moment. What was that?
I would say getting the final out that game, and Travis coming over from behind on plate and high-fiving everybody as they walked through the line. That was, it's something I'll never forget, that's for sure.
I bet so. And now that you're in the major leagues, do you think back on the operation and that rehabilitation and all the hard work that got you to the major leagues?
I mean, I do think about it, and that's I don't think I'd like to have my journey any other way. I could say that. It's been crazy, but you know, I've always had the confidence to pitch up here, so it was never a dream that seemed that I couldn't reach.
Mm. What you went through was just a temporary diversion. It wasn't a dream deferred. It was just a dream delayed.
Right. I mean, the way I see it, that was just my path. You know, some people, you know, they don't have to go through injuries. They're the lucky guys. And some people, it's tough to overcome that. And, you know, I saw some points where I thought it might be, but I just kept reminding myself what I've always wanted to do since I was 6 years old and play ball. So I didn't have another choice.
Well said, and here you are now in the major leagues. Seth, a joy to have you. Thank you so much for your time. It's just wonderful to have you on the show. So that'll do it for Seth Lugo and myself on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.